1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, if you're not risen with Him, it ain't no use seeking nothing, because you ain't going to be able to find nothing. But if you're risen with Him, or if you're risen with Him, you had to die with Him. You understand? And you were buried with Him, and you were raised with Him. And if you're risen with Him, you're in Christ. He said in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You allowed us to come, and we pray that You'd help us now to get the thoughts that's in our mind, and Lord, that we might present them in a way that the people can understand them, and distinctly and clear. And we ask You to open the eyes of our understanding, that we might see the things that You would have us to see. And everything that You do, we'll praise You for it. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Now I want to talk to you about a subject, like I said, I've mentioned it many times. But I want you to think with me, you're standing. And your state. You're standing. I want you to look with me there and notice what he said. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. That glory is not so much a place as it is what you are. For instance, turn with me and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking about the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's talking about in verse 41, and he's talking about the different bodies. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Well, how do you recognize a star? How do you recognize a moon? How do you recognize the sun? You see it. You understand? You see the light. And it's almost like how bright it shines is the glory. Now, you're going to have glory in the heavens someday. But that glory, that brightness, is determined by what you do down here on this earth. And your works has to do with the glory that you're going to share in eternity. Now we're humans and we're fleshly and we get concerned about this life and this life only. And we never think about eternity. But I want to tell you something. Eternity is just as real as the life you're living right now. And you somewhere, sometime, you're going to spend eternity somewhere you're going to be there 100 years from now, 200 years from now. You're going to be in eternity, and your brightness and your glory has to do with how you live down here. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn with me and notice what, first of all, you'll find that before you got saved, your standing, you were in Adam. Now, it doesn't matter, make no never mind what you did, you're in Adam. The Bible says, in fact, in Romans chapter 5, notice what he says there in verse, 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sin. That's in Adam. Now I should have had you to turn over, hang on to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because I want to read what he says there. Look in verse 45. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. And no, in the same way it is, you're natural before you're spiritual. You're in Adam. The first Adam was earthly. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, so I'm my standing at one time, I was in Adam. You say, well, you're still in Adam. Hold the phone. I'm not. Come with me, look over in Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. One day I didn't have the Spirit of God. And if because I didn't have the Spirit of God, I was what? I was in the flesh. Well, what is being in the flesh? I'm in Adam. Now, it doesn't matter what good works I got, how am I going to get out of the flesh? How am I going to get out of Adam? You can't be good enough to get out of Adam. You were born in Adam. And by Adam's sin was passed down to you. You have his nature. There are two of them. The second one is the Lord of heaven. So over here I got in Christ. Now how am I going to get from Adam to in Christ? I can't get there by my works. Jesus Christ came and he became what I am in Adam. The Bible says that God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now look with me and notice this thing about our standing. So I trusted Christ as my Savior. I went from Adam into Christ. I'm in Christ. My standing is in Christ today. While you're there in Romans, well, just turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's Christ. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What's them next two words? In him, Christ. So, I have righteousness over here. It's the righteousness of God. It's the gift of righteousness. God's gift to me is His Son's righteousness. In other words, I trusted what He did. I trusted the cross. And by me trusting Christ as my Savior, I took from Adam and put into Christ, and I have His righteousness. That will never change. There is nothing that I can do to get from Adam to be in Christ except believe on the Lord. And folks, works didn't get me from here to there, and works can't get me back from here back into here. You understand? Why? Because the sin question that would take you from Christ back to Adam was dealt with in AD 33 by the cross. And there is nothing that can take me out of Christ and put back in Adam, because there's nothing God can see wrong with me. Why? I'm in Christ. Now, these people who don't believe in eternal security is as wacky and crazy and nutty as a pecan pie. They don't know that Bible. They don't even believe that Bible. They believe some tradition that somebody got out of the Bible that was to somebody else, and it has nothing to do with you. There are people in that Bible can lose their salvation, but it's not you. You're in Christ. Look, back here again, notice in Romans. Try something else again. Romans chapter 3. And I don't mean to be mean to the people. They've been taught, well, they hadn't been taught. But people that don't believe in what the cross did for them about being in Christ, they're standing and in Adam. Folks, once you get out of Adam, you don't go back into Adam. You're in the second Adam, and that's the Lord of heaven. And you're, notice in Romans again. Notice what he says in Romans verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You know what sin is? The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Where there's no law, there's no sin. Do you not understand that? So the law was fulfilled and took out of the way at the cross. There's nothing to condemn you no more. You're in Christ. God's righteousness is imputed unto you. Notice what he said in verse, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that are baptized. Is that what it said? Oh, join the church. Oh, no, not that. Good? Don't even say nothing about that, does it? All them upon them that are without sin? No. What? Believe. There's no difference. Believe what? The cross. That's why Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. People that are lost hear me preach this, and they say, that's crazy, that's foolishness. I believe you got to keep it. I believe you got to live it. I had a man tell me one time, he looked me straight in the eye and said, I said, I didn't live it to get it, and I can't live it to lose it. He said, you live it or go to hell. And so I said, okay then, tell me how to live it. He said, what are you talking? I said, tell me how to live it. If living it is so important, then it ought to be wrote down somewhere how to do it. And you know what it come down to? 10 commandments. You can't break one. I said, man, give me a break. You don't even keep the first one. Who in here that you know of loves God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul? You know what the soul, that's the seat of your emotion. Do you love God with all your emotion? Do you think about the Lord in here daily, 24 hours a day, every waking moment? He's on your mind and you're concerned with living every day and every moment of that time that you're awake. You're concerned about pleasing Him. Why, you don't, there's days that you go by in your day, you get wrapped up in what you're doing. You're not even thinking about the Lord. Your old flesh. Why, Paul said we don't even do the things that we want to do because of this old flesh. And the things that we don't want to do, that's what we find ourselves doing because of this old flesh. He said, when I do good, evil is present with me. This old flesh. We're dragging this old dead corpse around and he hinders us, and it's a battle to serve the Lord. Do you understand that? Why, in Christ, lose you. You're in Christ. You have His righteousness. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, where we was at. Notice verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ, Jesus Christ. While you receive something from the Lord. Notice in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where we was at. Romans chapter 8. Notice what he says in verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Tell me something. If you're in Christ, you reckon God's for you? Is He for Christ? Yes. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now watch it. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, as good ones or bad ones, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, the devil or any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, if you're in Christ today, you're in the love of God, and there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And God sees you in His perfect righteousness. You have the gift of the righteousness of God. Now, who is he that can condemn? Well, the only one that can condemn is the law, and the law nailed to his cross. Your standing will never change. Look in Colossians where we was at. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Don't let religion rob you of this joy. And I'm not... People say, well, if I believe that, I'd do this, I'd do that. People that say that, they'd do it anyway. They wasn't worried about being caught. People say, well, you just believe you can live any old way and do any old way. No. I believe if you're really in Christ, you're going to love Him enough for what He's done for you that you're going to try to honor Him. I'm talking about your position. I'm talking about your standing. With God is as clean, no matter why. Your flesh is took out of the way. You're dead as far as He's concerned. And you're alive to Him. Look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete where? How about in Adam? No. Only in Christ. You're complete in Him. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of the preacher, no, God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all what? Let me ask you something. Are you forgiven? Where are you forgiven? Do you realize if you're in Christ and God holds one thing to your account, He has to hold it to His Son's account? And if He holds one thing to His Son's account, then this back here, that would be, it's of no avail. Do you honestly believe that God Almighty would put His Son to death, deliver Him up in the hands of Gentiles to be mocked and put to shame and crucified, and the sufferings, the spiritual suffering of being alienated from God the Father, and the sufferings of the lake of fire, the eternal damnation that He suffered as, I mean, folks, He went to hell for you. Don't you understand that? And God put His Son through all of that, and then say that wasn't enough. I'm glad for the cross, aren't you? But look what he says, verse 14. He says there, back there, he's forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You know what them is? That's that law. The Bible says you're not under the law, but under grace. And having spoiled all the principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over him. And then he says, don't you let nobody judge you in what you do. Folks, the law that condemned was justified at the cross, put Christ to death. The wages of sin is death. He died. How did I get from Adam to in Christ? By believing what he did on the cross for me. You here lost, you want to be saved, you trust that he died for you. You put your trust in that. And God Almighty will put you in Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And notice in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and that one body is Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit." When you trust Christ as your Savior, you are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, and your standing will never change. You're righteous from then on. Having forgiven you all trespasses, the slate has been wiped clean. It's all gone. That'll never change. But look at our state now for a few moments. Now it's not even 11:30. What about this over here? Well, this can change. This will change. From day to day. Look with me, and that's what back in the thing. He says in Colossians, what I read to you. He says to set your affections. Chapter 3. He says in verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, if you're died with Him, buried with Him, risen with Him, you're in name. He says there, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your things, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Then we're to be heavenly minded. We're to have our thoughts in the heavens. We're to have our mind and our affections on heavenly things. Now I want you to follow in what I'm talking about here. Notice what he said. Look back in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. He said in verse 20, "For our conversation is in" where? "Heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Now what about my state? My state has to do with service. Back in Colossians where we was reading, he said in verse 24 of chapter 3, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect to person." Then my state over here has to do with my service. How I serve the Lord. My state can change from day to day. There might be one day I'm on fire for the Lord, and the next day I don't care for nothing. That's my state. My state might be that one day I love Him, and the next day I don't even think about Him. It changes. And it has to do with works. Now, it don't have to do with sin. Sin was judged and the sins was paid for back there at Calvary. But someday I'm going to be judged for my service. You understand? And it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to give an account for the deeds done in my body. That's my state from day to day. He said in Corinthians, he said you renew that new man day by day. It's a day by day thing. You get up in the morning, you got to renew that new man. You got to concentrate on him. How do we do that? Well, we set our affections. Let's look at there's something about our state. Notice what he says there. Turn with me, and our conversation is in heaven. Now, I think about conversation. I think about communication. I think about things that comes out of our mouth. I realize they talk about it's our citizenship, and that's part of it. But you understand, you can about listen to somebody talk and tell where they're from. Now, I go up there, me and June went to Maine several years back, and preached up there. And them people knew we were from Southern. You know how they knew we was from the South? By our conversation. And they would get me to talk just so they could hear my Southern drawl. And they don't say door and draw. I don't know how they say it. Now, if you want to know, you get Patty and Lori. They can talk Boston. We're from Boston. But you can tell by their conversation. Well, when I think about our conversation ought to be in the heaven, our conversation is in heaven, then I got to speak things that's from heaven. Now get your thinking cap on, folks. We are the body of Christ. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. What things are heavenly that I need to be talking about? Well, number one, the gospel. Look with me in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ revealed to Paul the gospel that will save you and that saved me. So what is that? Well, you find in Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared unto the Apostle Paul, and he said he's brighter than the noonday sun. Listen, well, in fact, go over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice what he said. After he gives them the gospel, he said in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Well, we know from Galatians 1 he received it by revelation from the Lord. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Where was he seen of Cephas and of the 12? Did they see him in heaven? They saw him on the earth. And that he was seen, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. On earth. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. On earth. And last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. Well, where did Paul saw it? Paul saw him in heaven. Now listen, we're to set our affection on heavenly things. We're to speak heavenly things. What things can I speak that are heavenly? I can speak the revelations that was given to the Apostle Paul by the Heavenly Lord. I cannot preach the earthly things that the 12 had. And that's what religion wants to do. For instance, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And see the contrast. We're to preach the gospel of Christ that was given to the Apostle Paul. We're to rightly divide the word of truth. Our doctrine that we're to live by is given to the Apostle Paul and is found there for the body of Christ in Romans through Philemon. And that body, and that was revealed to the Apostle Paul, the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul of the one body of Jew and Gentile, and the mystery that one day that body's going to be took out of here. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." That's a mystery. And Paul said that the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given unto me and to you Gentiles. And he talks about the mystery in verse 6 in Ephesians. And God give him heavenly mysteries that was not revealed in the Old Testament. And he wrote them down in Romans through Philemon. And that's where we get our doctrine. And if I preach and speak the things of Paul and distinguish the things of Paul and preach it to people, I'm speaking heavenly things, and I've got my affection set on things above and not on things of the earth. But religion wants the blessings. They want the physical blessings. Compare something with me. Look, notice in John chapter 14, verse 11. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." What work? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Have you believed on the Lord? Have you? Do you do them works that he did? He said there, "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Look in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Notice in verse 5:36. John chapter 5, verse 36. "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Well, what John 3 says. In John chapter 3, verse 2, the same came to Jesus, talking about Nicodemus, by night, and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You know what the works are that manifested that Jesus Christ was doing? He's performing miracles to prove that he was the Son of God. Turn to Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter... Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went about all the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Look in chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And folks, he fed them. He fed 5,000 at one time, fed 4,000 one time, two loaves and a few fishes, and he break them, and he just kept on breaking and kept on getting them and kept on and multiply, and he fed all 5,000. Well, you've never done that. You've never walked on water. These is works. And them disciples did them works. And it had to do with an earthly, visible, physical kingdom on this earth. And the reason the church is in a mess today is because people have been brainwashed to believe that them physical blessings is for them, and they're not. It had to do with the nation Israel. And the kingdom was taken from the leaders of that nation and given to a little flock. And that little flock consisted of 12 men, and they was to be kings over that flock, and they're kings and priests, and they're going to rule with Christ and sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And they're doing works back there, and they're doing them great works back there and greater works back there. But you're blessed with all spiritual blessings. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Your blessings is heavenly. And folks, that's why there's no equality. That's why you can't say the Lord's blessing you more than He's blessing me, because you have more than I got. Amen? There's equality in the body of Christ. Now you might have more and you can thank God for it, but it ain't because God smiles on you more than He smiles on me, because I'm in Christ just like you are, and He sees no difference between us. There is no respect of persons. The reason you have more is because you manage better, got better education, got better job, and the world refunded or done more for you than it did for me. But don't tell me that you're blessed more than I'm blessed. We're all blessed the same in Christ. It ain't got nothing to do with this. Where'd I tell you to go? Where? Do y'all not know the verse? No, I'm just, I figured y'all know the verse. Look in chapter 1. Look what he said. Notice what he said in verse there in 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, it's a done deal, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You know that word, there, blessed, is to eulogize. It's where we get our word eulogy. And it means to praise, speak well of, to say great things about. That's what God does for you in Christ. And He said we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. According as He has chosen Him before the foundation of the world, chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And having predestinated, predetermined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted. In Adam? No. In the beloved, in Christ. Folks, my service over here does not affect my standing, and my service has to do with me speaking heavenly things and setting my affection on things above. How do I do that? I follow Paul. If I go back here and I want the material blessings of the kingdom back here, a kingdom over here in the 12, and they're dealing with the nation Israel and the little flock, they're healing people, they're casting out devils, and they're performing miracles, and they're being blessed physically, it's because they're on earth, their ministry and their blessings is earthly, physical blessings of a kingdom. Mine, spiritually, it's in the body. You can't see the body. You can't feel the body. It's there by faith. I have what I have by faith in Christ, God's beloved Son. And I'll never change. That's why I serve Him. I want to set my affections on things above that Paul wrote about. I want to set my thoughts and my conversation. I want to speak heavenly things. What is the heavenly things? It's the things that was revealed to Paul. When I talk about the mystery, I'm speaking my conversations in heaven. When I talk about the gospel, I'm speaking heavenly things. When I talk about
the being the unity of the body, endeavoring to keep the unity of the body. I'm talking heavenly things. That's my state. That's my works. That's what I'm going to be judged by. When I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be judged by a Bible that rightly divided. Do you understand that? And Paul says, be ye followers of me. You say you put him above Christ? No! Let me read you one verse. I'm going to let you go. Turn with me to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. I don't put him above. He's a sinner like I am. But I do magnify the office that God gave him. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You ought to underline this. Notice in verse 37. You ought to mark this, memorize it. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of what? The Lord. And you know the Lord from where? The Lord from heaven. And the words that Paul wrote down in Romans through Philemon are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the spiritual beings in that body. And that's where how we walk. That's our destiny. We learn and we grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord by following Paul, not the kingdom program with Peter, James, and John, Matthew through John. And Acts or Hebrews through Philemon. Shake hands with one another and you're at liberty to go.